Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all here. It's good to be here. And I like small churches, so I'm a little more comfortable here than a big church, I guess. And like, what's your name again?
Eldon.
Eldon, like you said, we're from Brooks, Alberta, and you're definitely welcome to come that way sometime. I guess I feel a little bit of a kinship or whatever the word is. I was converted when Brother Jerry had meetings at our church. And I guess that makes me feel a little bit more connected here than some places. So our topic tonight is youth appreciating the blessing of leadership. Brother Jerry sent me these topics, and it was good for me to study because some of these hit pretty close to home. Not necessarily this one because I'm not a youth anymore, but some of the later ones about marriage and stuff was good for me to study. So if you guys don't learn anything, I learned something already. Youth appreciating the blessing of leadership. This title points to the youth among us today. And although I think we can all profit from a study like this, for one thing, if you'd ask any one of us older people here today how old you feel, I think we'd all say that we feel kind of young at heart. A lot of us, even though we may not look it, or at least it feels like a few years ago that we were youth, definitely. Seems like time flies. The older you get, it just flies. Get married and it speeds up about three times. And whether you're youth or someone older here tonight, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we all find ourselves in a place that we need to appreciate leadership and have to deal with them and find blessing in submitting to the direction outside of ourselves. And one day, the Lord willing, each youth here may be a father or a mother or a leader in some other respect. And the way you relate to direction in your life today, I believe, makes a huge difference how the success in the rest of your Christian life. I believe every true Christian here today, correct me if I'm wrong, but every true Christian today covets advice and wisdom and direction from other brothers in Christ. And I think we as parents have a huge part to play in being leaders in our homes and also relating to other leadership. This is my small observation, that how I relate to other leadership in my life, maybe it's the policeman, maybe it's teachers at school, you know, you hear stories, or maybe it's any other leadership that you have to deal with, how I relate to my children has a huge influence on how they will relate to leadership in their lives. I believe it comes as close to home as if I respect other authority in my children's lives, it will go a long way in them helping them to respect others. And on the other hand, if I don't, if I feel full of myself, if I feel like any other leadership in my child's life or my life is going to hamper me and I kind of am I disrespectful to that, I believe it's going to turn around and my children are going to do the same thing to me if I do that to other. I believe that. I've watched it, and that's just my small observation. But if we relate to it right, it's a blessing to our children. Whatever leadership you're thinking of, whether it's ministry or policeman or whoever. The blessing of youth. Children are a wonderful blessing from God, and youth are too, very much so. If there's one thing I would like youth to remember here tonight, you're a wonderful blessing. We need you, your families need you, the church needs you, and the world needs your youthful witness. I used to hear when I was young that I was the church of tomorrow. I want to say that you're the church of today. Without youth, You go to some churches, I mean, not that I go there, but you hear of some churches where there's no youth, and it's, everybody knows it's not going to be long. There's no church at all. So you are the church of today, along with the rest of us. Every older person here today was once a youth, and every youth was once a child. We're just in a pathway through life. 1 John 2:14 says, I've written unto you fathers because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. When you think of youth, they're young, they're healthy. Everything's new. There's new beginnings everywhere. Everything's amazing and to be explored. And they're trusting. They're untainted by all the good and bad experiences the rest of us older people would have had through life. So being young and innocent and trusting and energetic, the things of the world or the whole world, whatever is around you, looks amazing. It looks a lot more innocent and amazing than the rest of us with a little more experience. We still love nature. We love that part of it. But the rest of stuff is looked at a little bit more, not quite so innocent, I guess you'd say. Hope you know what I'm trying to say there. Did you ever think about it back in the pre-flood days when people lived hundreds of years? Were people still categorized as youth when they were like 100 years old or 200? Like Methuselah lived till he's whatever it was, 900. Anyhow, just a thought. How long were they considered youth? It's not that way today, but I'm going to read a quote. Things I wish I had known before I was 21. That a man's habits are mighty hard to change after he's 21. That a harvest depends on seed sown. That things worthwhile require time, patience, and work. That you cannot get something for nothing, the value of absolute truthfulness, the folly of not taking other people's advice, that what my mother wanted me to do was right, that Dad wasn't an old fogey after all. More of the helpful and inspiring message of the Bible, the greatness of opportunity and the joy of serving a fellow man. That Jesus Christ wants to be my Savior and friend. And I remember the one thing here that says about habits hard to break after 21. I guess I don't quite agree with that one. I remember being in school and a man came in for devotions and he was saying something about how you are up to your 15. I can't remember the age exactly. And he's like, that's kind of how you're going to be. And that really worried me, actually. I was like, this isn't good. But that's not quite true. We can change habits any time in life, but it's probably a lot harder. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee. In the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. 12:1 then, remember that now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I believe this is a powerful message to youth and to us older ones as well. There are many youth in the world just living it up, you'd say. There's no restraints, no nothing, just living how they want. But the writer here is saying, enjoy life. I mean, one way you can take these verses and you could say he's a little sarcastic, but I want to say he's saying enjoy your youth. And we know that's biblical, to enjoy our life. Enjoy life for what it is now, because it will change as you get older. And I believe he's also saying here is the way to really enjoy it is to, the way to do it to its fullest is to live for God. It says, put away sorrow from thy flesh. And remember, God is going to bring you into judgment. But I believe he's saying, enjoy it. It is good. It's a very good time of life. But just remember, in all our enjoying and all our doing, let's remember whose we are and who we're serving. And like psychology today says, there isn't one finite number that determines old age. It can come at any time. And I want to suggest that those that follow God maintain their youth the longest. Our youth is a blessing, are a blessing, and a responsibility from God to youth themselves and to us older ones. We all share in the blessing and responsibility that they bring to our church, to our nation. Let's look at the blessing of leadership a little bit. First Peter 5, let's look at that. First Peter 5, verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We see God set up a plan of leadership in the church. And did you ever think about it? Those in leadership positions didn't pick their job. Fathers, mothers, church leaders. And neither is it an easy job, but God planned it that way. Somebody has to lead out to make it work. And it just goes down through here and talks about what they're supposed to do. Feed the flock, take the oversight. Neither is being lords. Don't be lords, but be examples, ensamples. And then you go down to verse 5, and it talks about working together, submitting to each other. So it's not all a one-way street. It needs to go both ways. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 22. It says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. So just some more direction in the way of listening to leadership in your life. Don't despise it. It's a blessing. We could read how Timothy was led by example. I believe it was his mother and grandmother that were good examples to him. They were actually leading by example. Hebrews 13:17 in another translation says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls and and they are accountable to God, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. But I also want to throw in here, too, that just blind obedience is not God's plan either. We think of how Peter talks about how they were supposed to not preach, and he says to them, we ought to obey God rather than men. And I think we always need to throw this disclaimer in, where we know for certain we're going to go against God in listening to a leader, maybe. We have to listen to the word of God first. But that's just, we're talking about godly leadership, so we shouldn't have to worry about that. But if we're ever asked to do something totally against the Bible, we have to follow God's word first. I believe we as fathers and mothers and pastors can do our part in earning the respect and appreciation of younger people by being honest with them, practicing what we teach, letting them start to make some of their own decisions when they are old enough, by making it clear what we want them to do so there's no misunderstandings. As marriage partners working together for the same goal, the father leading, and maybe if we have disagreements, talk about them in private. They don't need to be, our young folks don't need to necessarily hear that. Another quote I ran across, a good leader is a man who takes a little more of his share of the blame and a little less than his share of the credit. Hard to do. Most of us want to claim the good part and run away from the rest. So youth appreciating the blessing of leadership. The word appreciating there is a big word, isn't it? The error of youth is to believe intelligence is a substitute for experience, while the error of age is to believe that experience is a substitute for intelligence. So in other words, youth tend to believe that intelligence can replace experience, and it can't really. But we also have to remember as older people to be that good example, that studied good example that has the word behind our lives. The title suggests that it can be a struggle for youth to accept and appreciate leadership in their lives. Why is it sometimes hard for them to appreciate help in their lives? Or if you can think back in our own lives as older people, why was it hard for me, for you? Or maybe it never was. For normal people, it was hard, at least for me, you know. Some of the reasons may go like this. Adults don't understand. Times have changed. I've got life figured out. Like, I'm young, I'm ambitious, I got it. And I want to be clear, I'm not labeling the youth here as this. I don't even know most of you, so I don't. And I was glad I could say this at home, too. I don't realize, think as the young folks as rebellious. That's not, these are just a few things that came to my mind. Answers to these reasons, we don't understand, they say, maybe. We actually do understand as parents, as leaders. We've been young once, and like I said before, it feels like just a couple years ago. People are created the same in a lot of ways, I believe, although there's some differences, of course, but and that gives older people a lot of understanding because they've been through a lot more. But at the same time, we are not God. We can't see everything. We don't know everything. Yes, I will agree, times have changed, but man hasn't changed. Truth hasn't changed. And the more experience you have, I guess the more you relate truth to what you're facing, if you're following God. I've been to a few different places in the world, and people are basically the same. It's uncanny how much the same they are. Same things they deal with. Same, they're making a living. They're going about their life. They have struggles. They have, if they're Christian, they're living for God, but they still, you're living in the flesh. It's, people are the same in a lot of ways the world over. I like the verse in Jeremiah 10, talks about, maybe I'll just look it up. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but not with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. You know, when you really think of it, we don't actually have it in ourselves to walk a straight line. We need the Bible. We need brothers. We need leadership. We need help just to live life successfully for God. If you're young today, you haven't had a whole lot of experience. So just think about it. Is it wise to make a lot of big decisions without a little advice from your elders, from your pastor, from your parents? Wouldn't it be wise at least to run it by them, see what they say? Appreciating leadership carries a thought of valuing leaders in our life more than just putting up with them. More than just putting up with direction in your life. You actually value it. You look at it as a positive thing, as an asset to you. And I like 1 Thessalonians 5:12. I didn't say this. I preached this at home. I was trying to get ready for this. And I didn't bring this up there because it would feel a little bit personal, I guess. But study 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Says, let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And you can look, I looked at this in the ESV, I believe, and it had different words, but it kind of meant the same thing. Says, to know them. As young people, let's put forth some effort in getting to know our leaders, getting to know our parents. I mean, you know them, but in a deeper way than maybe just a child. Get to know your minister, the older people in your church, and your parents. Instead of distancing yourselves from them, they could actually help you a lot. Seek to know them and understand them and what they want from you, what they wish for you. They probably love you more than any other person in the whole world. They want you to succeed. So let's get to know them. I'm just speaking from a little bit from experience. You can feel a little bit like, I don't know what the word is, but when you're a leader, you can feel a little bit like it's maybe harder to get to know the people because you're in this leadership position, right? But, and I think it's our responsibility to get to know the young people too, but I do believe this verse says that it's also on the other part that they should reach out, get to know their leaders a bit. Just a thought. There are keys to success that every youth needs to prosper in life, I believe. And I believe the biggest one is accepting God's leadership in their life. I believe if we have this firmly in place in our lives, other direction we receive will benefit us even more. You can think of Joseph, how he was taken from home at a young age, taken from a long ways away from home, and how he had to live by himself for God. And it is, I love his attitude when he was tempted to sin, and it just brought to focus how he lived his life. He said, "How can I do this sin and wickedness and sin against God?" Something like that. "How can I do this great wickedness, sin against God?" That just tells me about his life, that he had a view of God and he just lived for God every day with that attitude. And that goes a long way in if we have that attitude, goes a long way in how we relate to other leadership. Verse 2, or point 2, let's honor our parents. Ephesians 6, 2. Could probably say this by memory. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Let's actually realize that I need direction from my parents. I don't know it all. The reason it's hard for youth or any person to accept leadership in their lives, I believe, is because it takes submission, and no one of us is born with submission. We weren't naturally born submissive. Youth should seek and appreciate and advice and leaders from elders in different areas of their life. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. Verse 21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Talks about fleeing youthful lusts, but following righteousness. So there is something about youth that is especially a time in your life where there is things that would draw you away maybe quicker. It says youthful lusts, but that can be for adults too. We can have youthful lusts in our heart too. But let's appreciate and seek them advice and leadership in our choice of friends. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. It says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." They corrupt good living. It's not good. And you know, all of us sooner or later have to deal with people that are ungodly, but if we can choose it, if our parents want it for us, let's seek their advice in friendships that we have. Titus 2:1. Talks about teaching the young men. says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So let's look to our parents, our leaders. Let's look for their advice, their teaching. Let's not despise it, but reach out for it. Let's look for direction in our finances and in managing our time. What about marriage propositions? Back in Abraham's time, he sent out his servant to find a wife. We don't even teach that today, but maybe it'd be good for us to seek advice. I believe it would. Ask their opinion. You're interested in somebody, maybe ask their opinion. What do they think? What about your job choice? Do you seek advice about that? I'm sure we've all heard the saying, experience is the best teacher. Do you ever think about it? Is it really the best teacher? It might teach life's lessons the most successfully, so they stick the best, the long-lasting lessons. But does everyone have to go through every hard experience in life and make the same mistakes to learn? I don't think we have to. I mean, sooner or later we're going to have hard knocks, and that's good for us. But what I'm saying is, let's share that advice, let's learn from it, and we maybe don't have to hit every pothole in the road, if you want to say it that way. Even Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, gave his son advice and direction, so he even realized that they need direction. Proverbs 7. It says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman. And you go through Proverbs, and it says it more than once. My son, listen. I have something to tell you. Please listen. I believe every person needs to face life on his own sooner or later. We can't shelter our young folks from everything. But I do believe a little experience can go a long ways. Save a lot of heartache. Take, for example, a child that has not grown up with any Bible teaching of anything. No right or wrong. He's going to go through a lot more hard experiences, make a lot more mistakes than if he would have been taught the truth. We could look at the prodigal son, how he probably was taught truth. And there's always the choice to make. There's always that choice. We'll never get away from that. And that's good. That's how God set it up. The prodigal left it all behind until he was at the bottom. And then he came back, which is great. That's a good ending to that story. But let's learn from experience. We don't have to make all the mistakes. 1 Timothy 4:12, in another translation, says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. That was talking to Timothy, I believe. We can be an example of it, of true believers, even when we're young. And in closing, I want to look at a a little bit of encouragement to the youth. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9 talks about not being weary in well-doing. Let's look at that. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's claim that promise as a faithful youth tonight. It is worth it. It's not always fun, it's not always easy, but it is worth it to be faithful. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again, I want you to remember, if anything else, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. You're only young once. God gave you your youth, your life, and he's the one that knows exactly how that you could enjoy that the best. He created you. He created me. And remember, you're a blessing from God. Your family needs you. The church needs you. Most of all, God needs you and wants you to work in his kingdom. Thank you for your attention. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this night. Thank you for each one here. Pray that we would learn from your word. Help it sink in our hearts. Help us to appreciate leadership in our life, no matter what stage we are in life. We have leadership that we deal with, and just help us to appreciate the advice and direction. Especially as youth, just bless each one tonight. Bless their homes, bless their parents. Just make us a blessing to the world around us, and help us to bless your kingdom. In Jesus' name.